Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Make Onions Cry, the podcast. I'm your host, Kat, and today I don't have Angie with me. I'm instead joined by one of my good friends who you've heard about before, Joy.
Hi, so excited to be here.
Yeah, so Joy is an expert, I would say, on all things toxic relationships.
Unfortunately.
Which is our topic for today. So it's going to be really interesting just to hear your perspective and really excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
All right, Joy, I have a question of the day for you. This, you know, it might lead to toxic relationships. It might not. It might just be an overall statement for you. But what's something you gave up on and why?
That's a good question. I gave up on, I guess it's related to the topic. So I gave up on dating men who don't have a good relationship with their fathers.
Really? Interesting. Like, wait, tell me more about that. What does that mean?
My first boyfriend, like, his dad was never in his life, like, dipped out when he was a kid. So it was really just him and his mom and his sister. And so he kind of had, like, daddy issues. And then my ex, the most toxic one, he also has daddy issues. So that was, like, the only two other relationships that I've been in, aside from my current one, who has a very lovely father in his life, and it's all good. So after that second relationship with the toxic ex, I was like, there's a pattern here, and I need to rethink the way that I'm approaching dating. And if you don't have a good relationship with your dad, like, I'm sorry, I'm just not gonna consider it.
That's fair. You know, a lot of a big stigma with men is that they're very much mama boys, and there's so many stories on the internet, especially Reddit, where people get into relationships with a guy and the guy is just obsessed with his mom, will do anything the mom says, will, like, throw his family under the bus because the mom asked for it. So
no, for sure. I feel like that's definitely super prevalent. But I also feel like if a guy doesn't have a father figure in his life, for some reason, that, like, impacts them a lot more. I don't know. It just shapes them in a certain way. And it's not great.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's you do need some different types of parental guidance in life. So it's good to have. I agree. Okay, so let's jump into the topic a bit. Okay. Toxic relationships. What would you say is a toxic relationship? Because people love to use the word toxic to describe literally everything. They're like, oh my God, toxic. He's so toxic. I'm in such a toxic, like, whatever. What do you consider to be a toxic relationship?
I feel like a toxic relationship is when you're not able to be the best version of yourself, or not even close to the best version, like, you don't like the person that you are, and you're not being treated with respect. I think respect is, like, a huge factor. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can tell you're in a toxic relationship, but at the same time, like, when you actually are in one, I think it's really hard to tell, even if other people can.
Absolutely. It's a lot of people love to play, like, the white knight. And
what is white knight?
It's like, you know how when you, like, white, like, knight in shining armor, you come in to save the person. So white knight is kind of along those lines, where you come in and you just want to save everyone. You point out, like, the injustice that's happening or whatever, and it might not actually be true, or it might be, but there's also a way to approach it, because, like you said, a lot of people don't realize they're in a toxic relationship. So just telling them straight up, be like, hey, your partner's a piece of shit, isn't the way to go about it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, when my ex and I broke up, I asked my friends and I was like, why didn't you tell me he was so awful? And they were like, well, you seem so happy, and, like, we didn't want to hurt you, and we didn't really think that you would really listen.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's something that my friends have said to me all the time, because I have a very good intuition on people. Like, I realize when someone's just not it. Oftentimes, though, I won't tell my friends about it, because at the end of the day, like, maybe they're not it for me, maybe they're really good for them, or they just won't listen. Like, there's been so many times where the person, like, the best friend has said, hey, this guy's a piece of shit, and the best friend just reacted really poorly and is like, no, yeah, fuck you, and, like, they cut the friends off.
No, I've heard of that for sure.
So, like, that's a very common case as well, and it's hard to find the balance of how do I tell my friends to watch out without sounding like a piece of shit.
No, exactly.
So, I mean, the definition, the official definition is a relationship that makes you feel unsupported, misunderstood, demeaned, or attacked. And that's pretty vague, pretty general. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think it does cover a good chunk of what it means to just be in a bad relationship in this sense. But one thing to note is that it is not limited to romantic relationships. You don't have to be dating someone to be involved in a toxic relationship, because you could have really toxic family members. You could have, you know, toxic friends. Toxic friends is a big one. Like, that's, you know, people drag you down. They make you feel, they use you for your, like, whatever you offer to the friendship, but they don't return anything. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, no, toxic friendships is definitely, like, a big one. And you're right. Like, when you think of toxic relationships, a lot of people automatically think it's a partner. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot harder. I feel like friend breakups are a lot harder than, you know, romantic breakups, in my opinion. And when you have a toxic friend, like, it's really hard to let go of them, or because you do care about that person as a friend.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you've been friends for a longer time. Like, I feel like if it's a very new friendship, you made friends, like, I don't know, 5 months ago, it's easier to let go than if you've been friends since you were five.
Exactly. And it's easy to be like, okay, I'm breaking up with you to, like, an SO, but how are you going to say that to a friend? Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to just separate yourself, because you can't just be like, I'm done with this relationship. Like, that's not how friendship works.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's difficult to do. But I wanted to talk about some signs of maybe someone is involved in a toxic relationship. What are some things to look out for? And I did want to give a disclaimer that just because any one of these exists does not mean that you're automatically in a toxic relationship. You know, like, sometimes, like, lying and jealousy, for example, depending on the extent, could be minimal things, or they could be toxic. So there's factors to consider there as well, just as a heads up. And there's also different types. Like, there's very obvious signs of you being in a toxic relationship, and there's more micro signs, I would say, where it's not as obvious, it's not as easy to tell. But some of the big ones, I would say, are abuse, like, directly either physically abusing someone or verbally abusing someone, financially abusing someone. That's a big one that people just don't even consider. All of those, just very obvious, I'm in a toxic relationship.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like financial abuse, that definitely happened a little bit in my last relationship, but we can get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into your story in a second. Another one is cheating. If you're with someone that just wants to be with someone else, they consistently go out and either sleep with other people, or they're emotionally involved with other people, like, that's a toxic relationship. It's not healthy for you. And another one is constant arguing. Like, that's not normal. You should be communicating with your partner, but you shouldn't be yelling at each other and having disagreements on every single thing. And there's also a difference between disagreements and arguments. Like, disagreements happen, but every time they escalate into something bigger, then that's the issue.
Yeah, and I remember, like, in my last relationship, we were basically constantly arguing, but for some reason, I don't know, I thought that was normal, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, well, it's nice that, like, we're voicing our concerns, but there definitely is a line, and there is a difference, and in a healthy relationship, like, I wouldn't say you, like, don't really argue.
Yeah, everyone argues.
You don't. Like, you have a mature conversation, mm-hmm. and if that person respects you and you respect them, like, it's not like a psychotic screaming match.
Yeah, like, there's a difference between having an argument where you're yelling at each other and, you know, calling the other person every single name under the sun, and where you're in a very heavy disagreement. You might be angry, because that's normal, but you don't take it to the form of disrespecting your partner.
Yeah.
You go against the issue, not against the person. That's I feel like that's the big difference. And then highs and lows.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I experienced this a lot in my last relationship also. Like, when things were good, things were really good. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on cloud nine. Like, this is amazing. Like, I'm so happy. But then when things were bad, I don't think I've ever since then felt that type of, like, I don't know, pain and genuine, like, sadness.
Yeah.
And it almost, like, shocked me how sad I was when things really were low, because I felt like that was not a normal, natural feeling.
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like experience also comes into play with that one. A lot of people, if it's their first relationship, don't know that it's supposed to be different. Or if it's a big age difference, you know, they might not realize that, oh, this guy's mature, this girl's mature. And it's like, maybe this is what a real relationship is. So that, I feel like that's also a big factor. And also why people that are abusive by nature and want to have that type of control and power dynamic seek out people that are easier to manipulate.
Yeah, and it's usually someone younger.
Yeah, and younger people just, you don't have the bone to fight back because you're just not experienced in life.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then lower self-esteem with yourself. That's huge. If you're constantly feeling down, if you're constantly feeling worse about yourself, if your partner's not bringing you up, that's an issue. Like, that's, that should be a regular thing. You should receive regular compliments. Like, I think about my current relationship and I, like, Abby worships me with how she, like, prays and just telling me I'm beautiful, all of that.
As she should.
Yeah, right? Well, you shouldn't brush off my shoulders over here.
Yeah, no, like, your partner should be your biggest hype person.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Like, and if they aren't and they're putting you down, that's, like, the biggest red flag.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to be with someone that helps you, like, that makes your life better. They don't have to be the person responsible for it, but they shouldn't be making your life worse. And if they do, then reconsider. Just saying. But then I did some digging for a bit more less obvious signs, and I found an article by Healthline, a really great website, highly recommend them. But they just listed a few things, and the first one that they had was kind of with the self-esteem thing, lack of support. There's no encouragement. You can't really rely on them. Your interests to them don't matter. So it's like, if you have a very niche interest or you want to do a specific hobby or whatever, that's not important to that partner. For them, it's, you know, what they want to do, what's important to them, and what they deem is important to the relationship, but not you as an individual.
Yeah. And I feel like that sort of ties into something I know we're going to talk about down the line, which is narcissism. Mm-hmm. And how if your partner has, you know, any semblance of narcissism, they really only care about things that will affect them in a positive way. And if it doesn't, then they literally just don't care at all.
Yeah.
But that's not what a good partner should do. Like, I feel like in my current relationship, I'm so supportive of my partner, even if, like, his interests don't align with mine. Like, he's really into, like, coding, and I have no idea what the fuck any of that is. But when he talks about it, like, I'm genuinely excited for him.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the same thing with me. Like, I am a huge Pokemon fan, and Abby is not, for, you know, for context, but she always supports me. Like, I talk about it to her all the time. I'm like, look how cute this is. Or I'll play Pokemon Go or, like, Pokemon the Switch, and she'll watch me and just be there. And it's like, aww, she's not doing it, but she's there with me doing it. So it means a lot. Another one is communication. Like, communication is the foundation of every single relationship. So the way you communicate very much determines if your relationship is healthy, if it needs work, if you, you know, are in a toxic relationship. Because, I mean, if you're communicating well, then, you know, hats off to you. Good stuff. You're in a good relationship. But if you start keeping things from your partner, or you're scared to say certain things, or you walk around on what's the saying?
Like,
you walk on you walk on eggshells. That's like, that's an issue, because you shouldn't. Like, you know, I feel like relationships, you should be able to come to your partner with anything that's happening.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like at its worst, I feel like I've heard this a lot, is like, people, when they come to conflict with their partner, they'll just, like, ignore them.
Yeah.
Like, for hours, days, mm-hmm. weeks. Like, that's so crazy to me.
Yeah. It's like, they'll either ignore them, or they'll switch gears into either, like, they either turn into an argument, start yelling, or they turn it into sex. Like, a lot of people will use sex as a diversion, because, like, let's not think about it. Let's just go and do this and distract ourselves.
And then the issue is still there.
Yeah, the issue's still there, but it's like, we're going to pretend it's not. But it's like, it still is.
So toxic.
Yeah. another one, jealousy and envy. So these, like, take this with one with a grain of salt. It also depends on the extent of it. Like, everyone can get jealous sometimes. Like, that's human nature. It's normal. It's not outrageous to have a partner that occasionally is like, I don't like this person, or I feel weird vibes. It would make me more comfortable if you, whatever, didn't. But it also comes down to extremes. Like, if they're always suspicious of you, if it comes down to where it starts off as jealousy and it continues into them just constantly hounding you, or, like, stalking where you are, or, you know, asking, who are you with? Where are you going? What time are you going to be back? Like, that becomes an issue. Then you don't really have autonomy.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone gets a little bit jealous. Like, some mm-hmm. people are naturally not jealous at all. Some people are rather jealous. And I would say, like, unfortunately, I feel like I am a jealous person.
Yeah, I feel like me and you are very much opposite sides here. Like, I don't get jealous almost ever. Like, it's very difficult for me to get jealous. But I know you are more of a jealous person.
Yes. And I wish I wasn't, because I, like, fully know, like, oh my God, why am I even thinking about that? Like, I trust mm-hmm. my partner 100%. But I feel like the difference in a healthy relationship and, like, a toxic relationship is, like, you communicate that with your partner and maybe say, like, hey, like, I'm feeling a little bit insecure about XYZ. Mm-hmm. They reassure you, and then you trust them. So you move on, and, like, you shouldn't let your jealousy derail your partner's friendships or their life or their plans. And at its worst, I feel like jealousy can also, I'm trying to find the word here. I feel like at its worst, jealousy can not allow you to do things that you want to do, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like, I know in my last relationship, my partner was super, super jealous to the point where he wouldn't let me wear clothes that I wanted to wear. And we would get in fights all the time because, you know, like, I'd go to the gym in, like, a sports bra and leggings, and he would be like, well, you want other guys to look at you, right, and you want other guys to hit on you. And I'm like, no, dude, like, I'm just trying to work out.
It's like, no, it's comfortable. Relax.
So that's, like, a whole other level.
Yeah.
But it's all about how you manage it, I feel like.
It is. And jealousy can also lead into projection. Like, if you're constantly jealous of your partner, then you're going to start projecting and doing those things that you're jealous of. And that a lot of times leads into cheating, because you're so jealous that they're going to cheat. You're like, I'm going to beat them to it. And then you end up doing it. It's a thing. Like, if people do that, like, that's the rationale that goes through the heads. And same thing with envy. Like, if you're, you know, like, if you're envious of your partner's success because, like, oh, they're succeeding and I'm not, like, that's an issue. Because if their success is also the success of your relationship. Like, the more your partner succeeds, you should continue to hype them up. You want them to succeed in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's a big one for me as well. Like, I know a lot of men are, for example, insecure about money. They always want to be the one that makes more money. They want to be the supporter. They want to support the wife, whatever. And they get very insecure if they have a wife that makes more money than they do. Like, if they're dating a doctor or a lawyer that's making, you know, triple their salary, they get very intimidated.
I've seen, like, podcasts and, like, TikToks of guys being asked, like, would you date someone who is more successful than you, who makes more money than you? And, like, a lot of them say no.
Yeah, because they are intimidated by it. They don't want to have that on them. They want to be the people that have either that control, or they want to feel like they're supporting the family.
It's just sad.
It is. It's very much, it gives you kind of a glimpse of, there is very much not equality just because of that mindset. Like, even if women are paid the same amount as men, men still view them as in, like, worse off because they make more money. So that's, you know, food for thought. Another one we have is control, which kind of leads to, kind of stems together with the jealousy, envy, all of that. It's like, you know, where are you? Who are you with? Why aren't you with me? Didn't you tell me this? Like, all of this of wanting to know every aspect of your life and having some input in it. It's like, you shouldn't have that. You're your own person. Like, you as a person, you as Joy, don't represent your relationship. You represent yourself.
Like, yeah. You're and you. Like, when you're in a relationship, it should be, like, a great thing for both parties. No one should feel like they're in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one should feel like, oh, I can't do something. My partner doesn't like it. And of course, like, there are certain extreme circumstances, like,
right,
you know, where you can adjust your behavior to the person's, like, preferences. Mm-hmm. But
you should never, like, come in with the mindset of, I'm going to change someone to meet my needs.
Exactly.
Like, that's not how. I actually saw a post on Facebook the other day. I'm in this group that, like, I'm literally in it because I think it's hilarious.
Is it the Are We Dating
the Same Guy? Yeah, it is. It's called Are We Dating the Same Guy? And it's, some woman posted a post on how she went on a date with a guy with a mustache. Keep in mind, this was date number one. Like, first date, and she was like, I really hate the mustache. How do I get him to get rid of it? And it's like, luckily, all the women in the comments were sane, and they were like, it's date one. You sound really controlling right now. And it's like, that's someone's, you know, facial appearance. That's what they chose. If you have a preference for not having mustaches, don't date men with mustaches.
Yeah, like, why did you even go on a date then if you don't like men with mustaches?
It's like, the fact that you, date one, like, if I get it if it's different, if you've been in a relationship for, like, 2 years and you're like, that mustache, man, like, that's weird. but it's like, if date one, like, you don't get to have any type of say in what someone looks like.
Yeah, and that's, you should also, like, think about, like, how important is it to you that this, like, that this person gets rid of their mustache? Is it really, really affecting you to the point where you're going to ask them to, like, shave the whole thing off?
Yeah, at the end of the day, is it really that big of a deal?
Exactly.
Like, it's facial hair. so, yeah, control is a big one. And then resentment is another one. If you hold grudges for a long time, if you constantly bring something up that happened months ago or even years ago, if you have, like, this internal feeling of, I hate this person, like, I feel like those are pretty big issues.
Yeah, and it's like, you shouldn't hold things over your partner's head in a healthy relationship. It's like, if something hurt you in the past and you've addressed it and you've moved on from it, there's no reason to, like, 10 months later be like, oh my god, like, you did this 10 months and 9 days ago. Like,
that's, yeah, that's not healthy. That's very much, you're still holding on to something, you're trying to find a reason there, and that's just, that's not healthy. If you do that, you're not healthy. but
calling them out,
it is what it is. Another one is, I think this is, like, a really common one in a lot of people, is lying. You know, like, why lie? Like, what's the point? The only exceptions I would think of is if you're, like, planning a surprise, or, you know, if you have a date night planned, or if you want to propose or something. Like, those, I get it. Or if it's, like, a white lie that doesn't really matter and it's just protecting someone's feelings, or, I don't know, let's say they're wearing a shirt that makes them look suspicious or whatever. But it's like, if you're in public, you can't really change that. So it's like, I feel like there's certain justifications for lying, but overall, if you consistently lie in a relationship, that's the issue.
Yeah, that's, like, an absolute no for me. Like, if you lied, if I found out, like, my partner lied about anything and it was, like, a big deal, not just to, like, spare my feelings over a white lie, like, a big deal.
Yeah, and especially if it's something that doesn't even matter. Like, if you're lying about stuff that does not need to be lied about, like, you know, like, if you're doing it to save my feelings, whatever. But if you're, like, lying for the sake of lying, why? Like,
because you're a psycho.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. It's like, if you're lying about something small like that, and I, like, then what makes me think that you're not going to lie about something bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like, if our relationship starts on a lie, then that's also an issue as well. Another one is disrespect. And I feel like disrespect is a very broad term here. It can come in many different forms. So there's obvious and then there's more subtle forms. My biggest thing, I don't know if you know this about me, I'm extremely punctual.
I know that.
Yeah. Like, if you tell me show up at 8, I'm going to be there at 8.
I think it's so funny you call it punctual. I call it late anxiety, which I talked to you about before. I'm like, I have late anxiety. If, like, something's, like, at 4 p.m., I need to show up at 3:50.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm always there early, or it's like, I'm never late, though. That's the thing. It's like, if something's at 4, the latest I'm getting there is at 4. That's the thing.
That's,
it's
great.
Like, yeah. It's like, if it's
more
something.
More people need to be like that.
Absolutely. And it's like, if it's something like a job interview and it's at 4, I'm being there at 3:45, like, minimum. It's like, you have to just prepare for that. But some people absolutely fucking do not care. Like, they do not care about time. They don't care about being punctual. And I get it. For some, it's a cultural thing. Because, like, if you go to Mexico and you tell someone show up at 4, everyone's showing up at 6. It's like, recently I went to my friend's wedding and she's Armenian, and Armenians are the same way, where it's like, on the invite, it was like 7 p.m. I think. And me and my friend were like, all right, they said to come a little late. So we came at 7:30. The guests didn't arrive until like 8:30, 9. Like, we were chilling there alone, just like us and like 4 other people. Literally, some people came at 9.
That's so funny.
It's like 3 hours after the wedding invite. So it's like, I get it. That's a cultural thing. But if it's like a normal, you know, everyday type of thing, you're making like lunch with a friend, it's extremely disrespectful to be late because you don't value their time.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, when I'm even running, like, 5 minutes late, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm 5 minutes late. I'm right around the corner. Like, I just don't like to do that to people. It's disrespectful, you said.
I do the same thing. Like, any time I'm any type of late, I will let you know. But then, yeah, there's other types of disrespect, like forgetting important dates. So you either forget anniversaries, forget birthdays, you know, forget maybe, like, to wish someone a happy Valentine's Day or whatever. Like, things like that matter. Like, that just shows that you don't care about the things that are important to that person, like the things that are important to your relationship. Like I always, I have a very, if someone ever forgets my birthday, oh my God,
they're dead to me. I know that. He would literally like never speak to me.
Now, I remember once my dad was like, oh, your birthday, March 19th, right? The absolute side eye I gave him was like, Father,
I'm disowning
you. Are the reason I'm in this world and you don't know when my birthday is. But yeah, I feel like that's a big one. Name calling. I feel like name calling is a very, very obvious form of disrespect. Like there's never a reason to call your partner, you know, a bitch, for example. Like it's just, why? Like, you can get your message across without having to call them names.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, like, that's not something anyone should have to put up with.
No.
And, like, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that, like, put up with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, some people think it's normal. And some people, like, do it back. Like, they'll get... No, I'm serious. Like, both people are toxic in that case. Like, they're calling the other person every name under the sun, and they're getting called back the same names. It's, like, it's incredibly disrespectful.
That's so wild.
Yeah. What's another one? Swearing. That's, yeah, like if you don't need to, you know, curse someone out. Like that's, it goes with the name calling. And then throwing things. Like at that point, you're just violent. Like if you're going around and you're having an argument where you like throw a vase, like relax.
Oh my
fucking
God.
Take a seat, Chad.
There was this one argument with my ex where he like threw his watch against the wall and like punched the wall. These were two separate times. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm scared.
I find it mind-blowing how many men just punch walls.
It's just a thing that men do.
Yeah, I mean, I know other people that do it as well. It's like, I'm not that fazed by the wall punching thing, but the throwing things, like, relax.
That's like so crazy.
I feel like if the argument is at that point where it's escalating to those kinds of emotions, step away from each other and come back to it in like half an hour.
Exactly, but
like, it's okay to cool down in an argument.
It's also, like, it goes both ways. Like, the person who's throwing things should leave, but, mm-hmm. like, is the other person engaging them and being, like,
yeah,
drawing them back into the conversation? It's hard to step away, I guess, but you definitely should.
Yeah, it's, with arguments, like, that, my life pro tip is, it's okay to take a break and be, if you're very emotional, especially during a very heated conversation, just be like, can we please come back to this in like 10 minutes? I just need to calm down and gather my thoughts. It's like, in my opinion, that's a very healthy way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you know, you don't have to get everything out at once. You can take a moment, recoup, get back to it. Yeah. Another one is financial behavior. So this one kind of goes along with financial abuse, but there's also more to it. It's like, I always tell people the story of my brother, how when he started dating his now wife, he asked her for what her credit score was. And
when, how early on?
Like within, like pretty early on, like there was still early, but like the second that he started getting any type of serious, he's like, what's your credit score? Like he wanted to know that she's not majorly in debt, that she's financially responsible. And it's like, you know what? At first I was like, what is wrong with you? But now that I'm older, I'm like, good for you because smart.
Go
like,
to vet them early.
Yeah,
on.
No, because it's one of those things, like, you don't want to get heavily involved with someone that is either recklessly spending their money, that isn't able to save anything, or it's like that just wants to buy all the flashy things and isn't being practical with it. It's like that, those are reckless spending habits. You don't want to build a life with someone like that necessarily, because they're going to end up putting you in debt.
That's funny that that's what you thought of when you said financial behavior, because I was thinking more like hold money over someone's head.
That's another one too. Yeah. I mean, that's like financial abuse at that point.
Yeah.
That's way more, you know, there's, I mean, I sent you a Reddit story recently about the girl and like the priest or something. And it's like, she's what, like 19, her husband's like 35 or some shit. And he like, she's not allowed to have a bank account. She's not allowed to have any access to money. Like it's all very much, you don't get access to the basic things that you need for life so that I can control you.
Literally jail.
Yeah.
And not even just that story. There have been a couple of other Reddit stories, I feel like, where the woman is like, I don't feel... What was that story? I think you sent it to me. And it was... There was a woman who, like, bought shoes for her, like, husband on sale in, like, a store. And it was because he needed new shoes. And
yes.
He got so mad at
yes.
her.
Yes. It was...
For spending
I think
that.
They did it on the Two Hot Takes podcast.
That's right. That's where,
that's where it was. But it's, like, basically, like, they have a very limited budget where they're allowed to spend X amount every month on certain things. And it's, like, shoes aren't one of them or whatever. But this guy needed new shoes. And he flipped out because she bought him new shoes. Like, what is what?
And then he was like, return them. And then when she did return them, he was like, how dare you?
Yeah, it was a whole mess. It was a whole mess. All right, I feel like another one, huge, is ignoring someone's needs. Especially if you just blatantly ignore what someone says. Like, if I'm telling you, oh, I'm unavailable the third weekend of July, and you go out of your way to schedule, like, a vacation for us the third weekend of July, like, that's fucked up. That's, like, very intentionally you're trying to screw someone. And it's, like, just not doing what's best for the relationship. You're not willing to compromise as well. Like, it's either your way or no way. And it's, like, that's toxic behavior right there.
And even on a smaller level, like, you're not necessarily in a relationship. But I remember, like, I was dating this guy. Like, we were just seeing each other. And I wasn't feeling well. And I was a little bit sick. And I kept telling him, like, you know, I don't really want to drink tonight. And he kept on, like, ordering me drinks. And I was like, dude, I just said I don't want to drink. Like, did you not hear me? Like, that's so whack. And then he would be like, oh, well, I got you this drink that was, like, a hot toddy or whatever the, like, tea alcohol is. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it'll make you feel better. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just said I don't want to drink.
Yeah, it's like, just respect the wishes. It's not that
hard. It's not that hard.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like compromise is a big one. If you are very much unwilling to meet your partner halfway, like, fuck you, first of all. But it's like, a relationship isn't all about you. It's about the two people involved, or, you know, multiple people if you're polyamorous. But it's like, it's about the people involved in the relationship. Like, everyone should be getting at least something. And if it's something that's really, really important to you, communicate that. But if it's something like a vacation, find the middle ground. You know, like, if you want to go on vacation to, I don't know, Mexico, and the other person wants to go to, I don't know, what's something like completely different, like Paris. It's like, find somewhere that has, like, do like Spain, tropical climate, but also European lifestyle.
Or, like, we'll go to Paris this time.
Yeah, like, let's go to Paris this year, we'll go to Mexico next year. It's like, there's ways to compromise that. There's ways to meet in the middle. And, like, I've seen so many relationships that don't do it, and it makes me so angry.
I've kind of talked about this with Francesco, where, like, obviously he's Italian, like, family is a really big deal to him, and we've never had the chance to spend Christmas together, literally ever in our relationship, just because of, like, COVID and, like, long distance, mostly COVID. But this year, hopefully, after 4 years, we'll be able to spend it together. And I know, like, Christmas in Italy is a really big deal for, like, families to be together for, like, days on end. And so we've already talked about, like, okay, this year, like, we'll spend Christmas with my family. And then next year, like, we'll go back to Italy together. And it's, like, it's definitely a compromise for him to spend Christmas with my family, given how important it is for his family to be with him. But, like, that's what a relationship is. Like, we can't spend Christmas at one person's place at all times. And we both understand that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, I have it pretty good because Polish people celebrate Christmas Eve more than Christmas Day. And Americans don't. Like, that's not really a thing people celebrate here. So, like, me and Abby talked about it, where we would do Christmas Eve with my family. And then we would drive down Christmas Day to her mom and spend it with her instead.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, both of us get to celebrate Christmas with our people, and it's, we get to celebrate together as well. And I feel like that also helps that we live close enough to be able to do that. Like, if, you know, my family was across the country, or if they were in Poland, like, not feasible. So that's also something to consider. Another one is losing relationships. Like, if you are losing your friendships, if you're not seeing your family, if you're not able to hang out, like, grab lunch with a friend because of your relationship, that's an issue. Like, you should be able to maintain your current relationships and still be in a relationship. Like, the two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and I definitely have experience with that. Like, it shouldn't be that when you're with a partner, like, you're with them 24/7, and they make you feel bad about, like, spending time with your friends, and they're like, oh, like, I'm home, like, missing you, like, can you come home sooner, like, I want to spend time with you. It's like, dude, like, let your partner enjoy their time with their friends. And, like, a healthy relationship, that person should be happy that you're seeing other people, and, like, they should also be, like, spending time with other people too.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you go and become in a relationship, your relationship shouldn't become everything. It's like, it becomes a big part of your life, don't get me wrong, especially if you start living together or whatever, because then you share a life with them, but it isn't everything. You should still have your own autonomy, your own friends, you know, your own things. Another one is lack of self-care. And this one, I was kind of skeptical about talking about this one because, like, a lot of the times lack of self-care can also be attributed to depression, or, you know, you're just in a slump in life, or you're just, you know, you might just not be a person that takes care of themselves. But if you are someone that regularly takes care of yourself, you know, like you go get manicures, or, you know, you take regular showers, even things like that. No, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, but then you don't even have the energy to do it, or you don't have the time to do it. That's an issue. It's like, if your partner takes up so much of your time that you don't even take a shower because of it, or it's like they drain you so much that you don't even have the energy to take a shower. Like, that seems pretty extreme. Like, that's why when I was reading, I was like, that's a little bit extreme. But I guess it's a factor. Like, if your relationship gets to that point, like, that's very far into the toxic realm.
Yeah, and just, like, being so emotionally drained that you just don't even care at all about your appearance or your health, like, that's really not great.
Yeah. And then if you're constantly hoping for change, I feel like that's huge. Like, if you're in a relationship and you're just either reminiscing the good times of, like, it was better, it can get like this again, or it's like, you know, like, this isn't great, but he can change, I can change him, or whatever. It's like, that's another issue. It's like, you, if you're not happy with your current situation, you might have to realize it's never going to change. Like, this person might, this might just be how they are.
I really think, like, fundamentally, people don't change, like, at their core.
I think that you can change certain behaviors and, like, adapt more and maybe compromise more, but fundamentally, you are you. It's like, you might grow and that produces change, but it's like, just because someone's like, oh, change this about yourself, and you're like, okay, do it to appease the relationship, you're either going to end up resenting the person because they made you change, or you're going to change temporarily, go back to your old behavior, or just not going to change. And none of those end in a good situation.
No, yeah, I couldn't have said that better. Like, a lot of times when people do change, they resent the other person and they're like, well, you made me do this, and like, now you owe me, or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, that goes to holding it against their head too. And then I guess the last one, it kind of ties a lot of these together, is if you have to walk on eggshells around them. You know, I talked about this earlier a bit, but if you're scared to bring up a topic or a problem because it'll create an argument, or you just don't want to because of your partner's reaction, like, that's an issue. You should be able to talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, that ties back to the communication thing. Like, if you feel like you can't tell your partner something and open up and, like, fully be honest because you think that it's going to hurt their feelings, then that just is not a good sign. And you should be able to be authentically you 100% at all times.
Absolutely. All right. There's a few definitions as well that once you, you know, you realize someone's in a toxic relationship or whatever, these are words that are very commonly thrown around. And I know you have a lot to say on all three of these, just because they just happen. Like, in toxic relationships, they just happen. And the first one is gaslighting. And a lot of people don't really realize what gaslighting is, but it's basically making someone think something that's not necessarily true. You know, like, if as a very basic example, I put a hat on Joy's head right now. And she's like, you just put a hat on me. I was like, no, I didn't. You're imagining that. That didn't happen. Like, that's me trying to gaslight her into thinking that, oh, that didn't happen. So I feel like that's a pretty decent example. Like, on a very basic term.
And I feel like the best way I can describe gaslighting is, like, you're denying that person's reality. Like you said, like, you're just genuinely making me think that, oh, maybe I guess there isn't a hat on my head. Like, Kat's saying that, I trust her. Like, and just making you doubt your sense of reality. It's a form of grooming. It's a form of, like, holding control over that person.
And it's very, like, it happens more than people think. Like, it's one of those things that you don't even realize half the time, because this is someone that you're supposed to trust. This is someone that you do trust. So why would they be lying to you? Why would they be making up this scenario that's making you question your sense of self? Like, there's just, in your head, if you trust someone, that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, it's really sad, the amount of Reddit stories that we've
It's like, it happens from both ends too. Like, there's so many women that just manipulate men and just gaslight them into all these different things. Like, it's not a gender related thing, and it never was. It's always, you know, toxic relationships are from both ends.
Yeah,
from, you know, anyone can do it. Another one is love bombing. Like, this was actually a pretty new term for me. I didn't learn about it until you actually told me your story with your ex. I was like, oh, interesting. I didn't know it's a thing. So do you want to shed some light into love bombing?
I feel like, yeah, love bombing is, like, when some relationship is, like, going from 0 to 100, mm-hmm. and that person is, you know, like, constantly showering you with affection, maybe almost even too much, and you feel in turn like really special. I feel like it's a way of control also. Like, if they, you know, send you like 100 roses to your house, or like they buy you a bunch of gifts, they take you out to fancy dinners, and then maybe they won't talk to you for a week. Like, just constant affection all at once. And then they use that as a way to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge thing. I didn't even realize that was a thing. I didn't realize people do that. And like, once you told me, I was like, what?
Have you experienced that?
I have not, no. Like, I mean, maybe I did and I don't realize it, but it's like, I don't think I have. I've been in relationships that moved very quickly, but it was kind of a mutual thing. So I don't think I've been like bombarded with love or gifts or whatever from the get-go.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be gifts. It could be like,
it could just be someone like consistently, like, time. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's another one. And then this is the big one, the big keyword of the day, narcissism. I feel like this is another one that just gets tossed around everywhere. People don't really realize the extent of what a narcissist is, because like, that, this is a very real thing. Like, you get diagnosed as being a narcissist if you are one. And a lot of people don't, but Joy, you want to shed some light into narcissism?
Oh God. Okay. So I feel like the biggest thing about narcissists is they are not self-reflective.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they also have a means to an end for everything they do. Everything needs to benefit them in some way. And everything seems to be the other person's fault. Like, other people are the problem. It's never me. Like, I'm the best.
You basically put blame. Yourself on this pedestal.
Exactly. And I feel like another big tell is they're very performative. Like, narcissists are often very successful. They're mm-hmm. very likable. They're very charming, very charismatic. And, like, you get drawn into their energy.
These are people that know how to manipulate a crowd.
Exactly. Yeah. They have an ulterior motive for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's very difficult to spot a narcissist, because a lot of the time they want to blend in. They want to appear really good. Like, they want to be normal with the crowd. And that, for a lot of the times, they just appear as very casual, successful, charismatic people that are just good with socializing and whatnot. But they have that ulterior agenda where they want to just further their life. They want to be better off. They don't really care about the other person.
Yeah, and it's that lack of empathy. Like, they really only care about themselves
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Yeah. So now that we've covered a bunch of definitions, topics, Joy, you've referenced your story a lot throughout the episode, but let's hear it. Let's hear what you have to say. What happened?
So I'll give the short summary. So basically, as everyone knows, I was in a very toxic relationship. This was a couple of years ago, and it really lasted only 10 months total,
mm-hmm.
which is a very short amount of time. Yeah, like, it's one of the shortest relationships. All things
considered, it's not long.
It's not. But as you said, like, everything moved very fast. So I met him in April of 2018 when I was 19, and I was a junior in college at that time, and he was a senior. Everything was just like hot and heavy in the beginning. Like, we hit it off. He was very charming. Everyone liked him. You know, he just seemed really great. And I ended up moving in May, which is literally next month.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, May?
Part of that was, like, I had, like, a weird sublet situation, and, like, my sublet for the summer essentially fell through. And he was like, why don't you come live with me? And, you know, if you want to move out at the end of the summer and go live with, you know, a roommate, you can do that. But this seems like a good solution. Only we'll get to spend more time together. And I don't know, I guess at the time I thought it was not a problem.
I mean, at the time it was also temporary. Like, you weren't committing to a lifetime. You were committing for the summer.
But looking back, like, would you move in with someone you met a month ago?
No.
Like, oh my God. So I moved in with him. The main key factor about this relationship was that he was on DACA. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which essentially protects undocumented immigrants that were brought to the U.S. as children. Mm-hmm. So, like, really not their fault. So the thing about DACA was that he was still not a citizen, and he wanted to be. So he made that very clear, and he wanted to get married so that he could get a green card. And obviously he didn't present it that way, being like, Joy, marry me for a green card. But it was sort of like a thing that he would talk about all the time, like, you know, just talking about his past childhood and his trauma and like how much he wanted to be a doctor in the United States and how like important it was to him. And me at the time, like, I was young, I loved him. I knew that this was a really big deal. I wasn't like, oh my God, yes, but I was willing to consider. So he ended up proposing in October of 2018 on my birthday, which I'm just like you. My birthday is a big deal.
Yeah, my birthday is my birthday.
It is my day. And I told him, because we had talked about it, and I was like, don't do it on my birthday. Mm-hmm. He still did. But even before
disrespecting boundaries, take it back to 10 minutes ago.
Even before that, like, I had expressed my doubts. Things were moving really fast. And I basically said to him one day, this was over text because I was in Chicago and he was, in New York at the time. And I basically was like, listen, like, I talked to my parents about it. They think that this is really fast and they don't necessarily approve. And, I just had found out about my grandpa's health scare at the time. And I just really don't think I'm in a place to maybe even move in with you right now or marry you, maybe not even be in a relationship right now. And I sent you those screenshots.
Yeah. So for context, I read this conversation and this was such a roller coaster reading it. Like, from my point of view, it was like, okay, he's making some points. And then literally like two text messages later, full 180. Like, just completely flipped the script and was like, instead of accusing you, he's like, I love you, this, that, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, like, I don't think I even sent those to anyone. I just screenshotted them because I was like, this is something that I feel like I want to look back on and, like, just remember. Because after I told him that, he got upset and he was like, well, it sounds like you're trying to break up with me. And if you do, I want you to know that I will never ever take you back. We will never be together. Like, are you sure that this is a decision that you want to make? And then, like you said, like 10 seconds later, he sent me like 25 texts, basically being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't imagine a life without you. Like, please reconsider. And just like flipped it on his head. And
it was so instantaneous too. Like, the conversation didn't even take a turn. It was just him completely flipping the script.
And I remember I responded to him and I was like, I can't talk about this right now, but the first half of your text contradict the second completely. Mm-hmm. And he just kept going. But I forgot why I was talking about this. Anyways, I think the point was that I had expressed my concerns, but he made me feel bad. Like, he made me feel like I wasn't a good partner, that I didn't love him if I didn't marry him, and essentially guilted me into saying yes to marrying him. And I knew in my heart, like, my parents didn't want me to. And I knew they would be upset, but I was even willing to go behind their back and marry him. So he proposed. I said yes. Then we broke up in late February 2019. And I think the preface before we broke up was that I had found out that he was cheating on me. Mm-hmm. I literally saw texts from my own eyes. And I did check his laptop because I just had like a gut feeling. And it's so crazy because with my current partner, like, we've been together almost 3 years and I would never in my life dream of checking his phone. Like, I trust Francesco implicitly. There's no need for me to do that. But I just felt like something was off. I had been in Chicago for winter break and he wasn't really being responsive. I just knew something was wrong. So I checked his texts and literally saw he admitted to cheating on me. But then he tried to, like, spin it and convince me that that wasn't what I saw.
gaslight gatekeeper boss.
And at that point, like, I lived with him. I had a ring on my finger. I decided to give him another chance and try to work through it, which, looking back, and like, you've only known me before.
Any, yeah, like, I knew you after all after, this went down. Yeah,
after any of this went down. Do you think that I would ever tolerate that now?
No, absolutely. Like, knowing you, you're one of the most, like, spoken people on, like, this is my needs. This is what you're going to do. X, Y, Z, my expectations.
Exactly. And I was just, like, really ashamed, honestly, that that was something that I allowed happen. Not the cheating part, but that I decided to give him another chance because mm-hmm. I know today, like, I know my worth. I would never. But, yeah, so we decided to continue trying. At this point, like, we moved into a new apartment because his lease was up in Midtown. And I was just having a really hard time, you know, going back to normal. Like, I had just found out that he had cheated on me, and I was still, like, really hurt by it and still being really hostile towards him. Like, I will admit that. But he basically said to me, like, if it was the other way around, I would have gotten over it in a day. And you're being dramatic, and you are, like, holding this over my head. And, like, basically made me feel like I didn't have a right to feel upset. Mm-hmm. So we ended up breaking up late February, early March. He started dating that girl that he cheated on me with and immediately started posting her on social media saying, like, met the love of my life, like, things along those lines.
That was quick.
Like, what? It's been, like, a week and a half. And I remember asking him, like, I saw these, like, posts of her, and I was like, are you dating her? Like, are you serious? We literally just broke up. And he told me, he was like, no, like, what are you talking about? I would never date her. She looks like a prostitute.
What is wrong with this dude?
Like, she looks like a cheap prostitute. I would never date her. And then, like, a week later, he was like saying that she was the love of his life. And I was like, oh my god, you're literally unhinged.
Yeah.
And he self-defined himself as a sociopath. He okay. self-defined himself as a sociopath, which you would think is the biggest,
like,
red yeah. flag.
I feel like you don't want to be with someone that, like, calls themselves.
I was like, oh, like, cute
rose colored glasses, like, rose colored glasses, they're there.
But looking back, oh my god, it was all right in front of me. But I think he's someone that I would definitely define as a narcissist. He was really controlling, gaslit me, love bombed me, all the terms. He really made me feel like I was overly sensitive when I just would get upset about things, and really just made me feel insane. He even, like, accused me of being bipolar mm-hmm. at one point, because when I was happy, like, I was really happy with him. And when he made me upset, I was really sad, and it was the highs and lows. He would be like, you'll never find anyone who treats you better than I do. You'll never find anyone as patient as me who will, like, love you as much as I do. And at the time, like, I really took that to heart. I was like, oh my god, like, I have such a good thing going. Like, no one will ever treat me as good as him.
It affects
so, like,
you.
I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to pause there.
Yeah. So, I mean, as someone that has met your current partner, I can tell you, you have definitely found someone that treats you way better, like, just from an outsider's point of view. But that kind of ties into the final part of this episode, which, you know, I want to talk about, is it possible to fix a toxic relationship? And there's a lot that goes into that, because there's some that are much more toxic than others. Like, your relationship, love you dearly, I do, but I just don't think you could have fixed it. Like,
absolutely not.
There's a certain point of just no going back. But I feel like if you're just starting off to be toxic, or there's a situation in your life, then yeah, you could totally fix it. But you have, like, both people have to be willing to participate and realize this is the issue. We have to work on it. It's like, go to couples therapy. Like, it's like, so many people refuse to do therapy individually, and even more so as a couple. Fucking go to couples therapy.
Apparently you are not supposed to try to take a narcissist to couples therapy.
Why? What's gonna happen?
Like, they just get really defensive, and also, like, a lot of therapists are not equipped to deal with narcissists who on the outside appear very charming and mm-hmm. like nice and lovely, and so they kind of put blame on the other person and say, like, well, have you ever considered, like, your anxiety, you know, is negatively impacting your partner,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of take the side of like the narcissist. So it depends, but
I'll find a good therapist if you do
find a good therapist.
But yeah, the biggest one with fixing any type of toxic relationship is that you need both people to be on board, and you need both people to realize there is an issue in our relationship. Like, if it's just one side that realizes this and wants to work on it, and the other one is like, what is wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with us. It's never going to be fixed. Like, you will keep having the same issues there. And it's like, there's also, you know, how to leave a toxic relationship. That's said much easier than actually done. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be very difficult to leave one, especially if you're reliant on the other person. You know, if they have the financial control, like we talked about finances a lot. You know, if they pay for everything and you have no savings, you have no backups, like, it's very difficult to just go out there and find a place. Like, you also don't have a credit score, which you need to buy or rent an apartment or a house. It's like, it's very difficult to leave someone that has financial control over you. So, you know, that's the first thing I would say. It's like, if you really want to leave a toxic relationship that's very controlling, get your documents, get a bank account, like, get some kind of security, like, create a kind of a net for yourself.
Yeah, that's really important. And you should probably do that without them knowing.
Yeah. Like, get, you know, like, if you have access to wherever your important documents are stored, get your social security card, get your birth certificate, get your passport. I don't know what else people have. Like, those are the big three, I would say. But get that and don't let them know that you have that. Like, put it somewhere where they don't check. You know, usually places like that aren't, you don't frequent that every day. Like, I check in on my passport anytime I'm going traveling. But, like, I don't open my safe every day and be like, is my passport there? So it's like, odds are a person won't realize it, but, you know, still be careful. You know, don't do it too soon, because if they do check on it for whatever reason, they realize it's not there, they might get an idea. And then, you know, if you can, open up your own bank account. But like I said, you need an ID to do that. You need your social security to do that. So that's why you want to have those things. And just try to become as independent as possible. You know, you want to stop relying on them. You don't want them to have that financial control. You don't want them to emotionally control you. If they're forcing you to have kids, for example, then, you know, try to get on birth control. It's like stuff like that. Like, it's a difficult topic to talk about, but it's a very real issue that a lot of women face.
Yeah. And it's hard to try to be independent at first, because mm-hmm. a lot of times in toxic relationships, like, so much of your life is intertwined with that person. And yeah. I know, like, for me, after I left that relationship, like, I had no self-worth. I had, like, social anxiety, which I didn't have before, but I just felt, like, so scared to be alone mm-hmm. in the world by myself, like, without this person by my side who I relied on and trusted, who completely tore me down. And it's hard to get out there and, like, establish that control over your own life again, but it's, like, those small steps, like you said.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, on that note, on that very happy ending of the episode, thank you for coming as a guest, Joy. Really, really, you know, great hearing your story, great hearing your takes on things.
Thanks for having me. I hope that this can help anyone who might be listening who is in a potentially toxic relationship. Like, at the end of the day, you should not let that relationship determine your self-worth. Mm-hmm. Like, even now that I've moved on, it's been years, obviously it still affects me and I went to therapy, but at the end of the day, I know now that it's not making me any less of who I am.
Yeah.
And that I love myself and that I'm great, and I should keep that in mind, and so should everyone else.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, this is stuff that you just want to be aware of. You want to, if you're single and you're starting to date, these are things you might want to be on the lookout for. You know, like, Joy had a very drastic case of toxic relationships, and most toxic relationships aren't that. They're much more subtle. But, you know, just keep your eyes open, keep your consciousness aware, and just look out for yourself. You know, my biggest piece of advice is always look out for yourself, because no one else will.
100%.
Yeah. On that note, outro music.